Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled, multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, you can find us on the web at revivallife.church.
Responsibility. I know that. I've been praying and praying ever since. Pastor Carl goes, Mike, I need you to speak for me. I said, oh, okay, can you hear me? I can hardly hear myself. Okay, good. As long as I can hear me. So he goes, Mike, I want you to speak on John 9. We're talking about things God is doing. And right here, Jesus healed the blind guy. And so I'm over there. Wow, that's really great. And I read it over. It's like 41 verses, and I read it over. And then I read it over again. I started figuring something out. I go, like, God's really interested in the blind people that can't see. You know, and the Pharisees that were there, they weren't. Because they were all over Jesus for doing it. And in Exodus 4:11, it says, but the Lord said to them, who has made the human mouth? Or who is unable to speak or deaf? Or who is able to see or to be blind? It is not I, the Lord. Now go, and I myself will be with your mouth and instruct you what to do in the way you are to say. But he said, please, Lord, send the message by whomever you will. And he sent it by me right now. In Leviticus, they set it up a little bit differently. He's giving out the law. And he's talking about the blind. He goes, you shall not curse a person who's deaf, nor put a stumbling block before a person who is blind. But you shall revere your Lord, your God. I am the Lord. So he was setting it straight. Then for a joke, anybody that was blind, they'd set a block of wood in front of him and watch him fall, and everybody would laugh. And it's like, God says, no, I don't think that's the way things should be done today. You know, and that's where we hear the thing, stumbling block. It was literally a stumbling block. So God likes to set stuff straight. In Psalm 146:8, he says, the Lord opened the eyes of those who are blind. The Lord raises up those that are bowed down. The Lord loves righteous. He opens up the eyes that are blind. And I'm like, As I've been reading this verse, boy, I could use my eyes opened up in some way. He goes, okay. And then in Isaiah 35:5, he said, the eyes of those who are blind will be opened. The ears of those who are deaf will be unstopped. So I said, oh, okay. If you read the whole chapter, he does it quite a bit. And then in Isaiah 42:7, he says, to open blind eyes, Jesus' mission, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from prison. I am the Lord, and that is my name. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'll take that. That's your name. So you're going to do it just on your name. In Isaiah 42:16, it says, I will lead those who are blind by the way they have not known. In paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn their darkness into light before them and uneven lands into the plains. And these things I will do. I will not leave any of them undone. And then in Isaiah 42:18, it says, hear you who are deaf and look, you are blind so that you may see. So as I'm reading this, I go, God really has a heart for the blind people. I go, man, that's like, and I go, I know that. I'm a Christian. Right? You know, Sue and I were at the airport last December. And there was a guy, and he had one of those canes, you know. And I'm over there, ooh, I got an opportunity here, because I chase down opportunities. I do, it's crazy, but we see the guy, and I talk to him a little bit and stuff, and then all of a sudden he starts getting up, and I said, can I help you? He goes, no, I can see. And I'm like, all that praying, talking, and everything. He goes, I got tunnel vision. And so I'm like, oh. And I go, how many times do I have tunnel vision? You know, we're focusing on one little thing, you know. And because he had the cane, I thought he was blind. And he wasn't. And the guy was real sociable and everything. He knew where I was headed, so it was a good thing. Here today, we're going to look at John 9:1. And it's an incident that took place, and it says, as Jesus passed by. Boy. Up until this point, he's done a whole bunch of things, Jesus did. But then he saw a man who'd been blind from birth. And he was at one of the gates of the temple. And I look at that and I go, how many times did Jesus walk by him and he didn't get healed? You know, and I wonder, and how many times, and it was like 2 weeks ago, I was reading Dutch Sheets. I don't know if anybody. And he was talking about the Gate Beautiful with Peter and John. They pulled up the guy up and everything. And then they found out the name of the Gate Beautiful was the incorrect name. It wasn't something attractive. It meant the right time. And I go, ooh, this is the gate of the right time. And I go, this is the blind guy's right time for him. Right now, the scribes and Pharisees, they all said to him, his disciples first said, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? So right away, they're looking like, what'd they do? What'd they do, you know? What caused this? Their family line? I have a very addictive personality, people that know me. I am so glad God got a hold of me when he did. He saved my life because of it. He did. But my whole, and God knows our family line. And so he knows I could be addicted to things very easily. And instead, I'm addicted to God. And it really changed my whole family atmosphere. It does. It does. And it's like, you go, okay. This is what you do. My microphone's falling. Huh? Yeah, but it's falling apart. Like me. No. And Jesus answered, and he sentenced people straight on this. He goes, it was neither this man that sinned nor his parents, but it was so the works of God might be displayed in him. We must carry out the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. I am in the world, and I am the light of the world. So in the chapter right before there, he was over there going, okay, guys. He said, spoiler alert, Jesus wins. Just giving you a hint here. I wrote it here. Spoiler alert, Jesus wins. But he did. He had healed people. He had fed 5,000. He had taken people. A girl was in adultery, and they tried to stone her. And he said, no, don't do it. He goes, I am the light of the world. I will speak you truth and all this stuff. And the Pharisees are all watching him and listening to him really carefully, trying to catch him. And they thought what he did was wrong because he did it on Sunday, or Saturday it was then. But in John 8:59, the last statement there, it said, therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him. Because, and then Jesus hid himself and left the temple grounds. And then I get offended at times, and it's like, I hold it for about a week. You know, probably shouldn't, you know, I'm learning. There's, you know, you go through a process and stuff. But Jesus right away turned around and went and he healed the blind guy. Because he knew his time was limited. And I go, Jesus, you're going to be out there a little over 1,000 days. And because of that, he knew every minute that he had to do and do something. And we've got about 75 to 80 of those days written in the Bible. So we've only got a real small portion. When we get to the end, we'll figure out what he's going to do with us to teach us. But it's been recorded that the man was blind from birth to show his hopeless condition. He was hopeless. He had nothing left. At times I feel, I got nothing left, Lord. I got nothing left. This week, we had jail orientation. I go to jail. And they got a new director there. And they made us jump through all these new hoops to get in. And I've been doing it. And they go, well, I had to sign a thing and send it back to them. And then they sent me back an invitation. And they said, well, now you got to go down here and you got to show them your Social Security card. And then you got to come back. And then you got to reply to this and this. And I'm like, we used to just go to one meeting and we were done. Now it was like, so I'm like, rrr. So gets in. Wasted my time. I'm driving down there, and all I hear in the back of my head is, oh, they didn't get your email. You're not going to get in today, Mike. And they only have it every 2 months, and my orientation would have ran out. And then so I'm like, urgh. Driving 35 minutes down to Lauderdale Lakes, and then the whole time I'm like, I'm hearing, you're not going to make it. You didn't get it. They didn't get your email. They didn't get your email. You can't go to the meeting. And I'm like, ooh, this is, I finally get there. I stand there at the desk. Your name's right here. The whole thing was a lie. The whole thing was a lie because I was letting it engage me. I was saying, oh, this is hopeless. This is frustrating. This is, But it was done correctly. But still, the enemy, anytime we stand there, and it's like the disciples, they saw everything Jesus did. The Pharisees saw everything Jesus did. And they were all picking on him. Well, who sinned? Did their parents sin? Did he sin? You know, before the guy was born, he was blind. Nope, he didn't sin. But his disciples, you know, it was a strange question with his parents. We all know that it's not necessarily sickness and suffering that brings in difficulties and pain in our life. We know we got an enemy that hates us. We do that. And it's like, we have to fight that off. And it's like, I had a really good example this week. It's like, oh, man, I had more than anything else, I like going to jail and seeing the guys. And then it's like, okay, it went well, the whole thing. The guy was really good. He got done in 45 minutes, which normally takes 2 hours. And I'm like, good, I get home and take a nap and did everything. And then to Sunday, they play my song. I play this every week at jail. This is how we fight our battles, you know. And I sit there, and the first and second time we played it, the guys struggled a little bit, you know. It's like, nah, nah, nah. And now it's like when you see 8 or 9 guys get on their knees going, this is how we fight our battles, that we are surrounded. We are surrounded every day. And I'm there like, oh, my, you know. About half of them go, okay, they give it up. They surrender completely to God. And that's our goal, get people to surrender to what God's doing. And it's really uncomfortable because the enemy sets up traps for us in our whole lives. Jesus set him straight. He goes, God allowed this man to be born blind in order that he might become a display of mighty works of God. So before he was born, Jesus knew it. I loved it. I think it's Galatians. It says, before the foundations of the world, Christ died for us. So it's like, I know. Before Adam and Eve even sinned, God had a solution already. So every time I have a failure, and I have a lot, yes and no. I'm just being, if you're not honest, you know. No, I'm perfect in every way. Nobody agrees with that. That's good. But it's like, we have to set the boundaries. Take captive every thought. Colossians? I think it's Colossians. Take captive every thought. Take captive every thought. You know, and I was down on my way to jail orientation. I'm like, rrr. Jesus is still light of the world. He hasn't lost his position. Even though I'm struggling and I'm in the battle, I'm surrounded with all these thoughts that I'm not going to make it. I mean, the day was super smooth. We got our food. We went out. We fed the poor, took care of them. Actually, we got home a little early. We fed 62 people. 7 people got saved. And we're there like, boom. And then I'm home. And then it's like, I can make it on time. And the enemy goes, oh, no, you're not. You're not going to get in there. You're not going to. And it's like, how many? And I thought about it. I go, how many other people are hearing this? You know, one thing I heard Pastor Carl say a couple, probably months ago, he said it, that the voice that we hear the loudest is the enemy's. And I brought it up in jail. And the guys go, yeah, yeah, you know, because we have a little more conversation than you guys have with me right now. So, but the voice that they heard, all the negative stuff, and they've gotten to know me. I've been seeing the same group since 2018, and they're like, half of the time we try to plan on how to get out of here, and then after we get out, what's going to be our next crime? And I'm not going to get caught next time. And I'm like, it's not going to work. You know, because I saw you in 2018, now it's 23, and you're back in here again, you know. And, you know, it didn't work, did it? Here's the plan, you know. Right. We got to submit to him, though. That's our battle. Nobody likes to submit. And Jesus comes along, and he uses, in verse 6, in chapter 9. Guess I have to look it up, too. When Jesus had said this, he spit on the ground, made mud from the saliva, and applied mud to his eyes. And everybody talks about the saliva and the mud. I think about the simple things that Jesus does. The weak and insignificant things that Jesus uses to work out his purposes. Was the saliva always there? Yes. Was the mud always there? Yes. But he goes, here, I'm going to take this and use this to take care of this man. Because it's something else that nobody else would do. God wants to do things in your life that nobody else can do. You have to go to, and you stand there and you go, okay, Jesus, how do you want to work this one out? You know, and people talk to us and go, well, this is a problem. I go, I had a friend of mine, he had two boys, and then he, I just told him, put your hands on your butt and pray. I said, grab your butt and pray. That's all you could do. That's all you, and now, you know, he goes, what do I do? What do I do? I go, pray. He goes, Mike, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I said, God, I need you. God, I need you. You know, it's like, but it's like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what. I said, neither do I. But I know who answers prayer. And I mean, he's got kids. Both of them have kids now, and they're doing fine. You know, but going through the process. We are going through a process. This is how we fight our battles. And we have to keep it in our minds. It's like, well, they did start the clock. Rats. They started the clock. You warned me. They started the clock. You know? I know. The neighbors of the blind man were very startled. He could see. He went. He obeyed Jesus. He obeyed Jesus. And it's like, oh, okay. That's a good thing. I like obeying Jesus when it's convenient for me or when I don't have a bad attitude. I was feeding the poor Saturday morning. I wish Jackson was here. He's involved in the story. And we go around the corner, 27th and Atlantic, and a lady was all ticked off. She lived at the bus stop. They arrested her this week, and they threw out all her clothes. They only let you take one bag of clothes when you go to jail. And so she's back, and we had to give her clothes. And she was a favorite of mine, Auntie Sharon. And so we pull around, and we're in the center of the shopping center there and feeding people. And the security guard comes and goes, well, you know, you got to get out of here. You're not allowed to feed the poor on the property anymore. I look at her, I go, you going to arrest me too? He goes, no. He goes, no. But, you know, we're trying it. And I'm like, okay. And all of a sudden, in the back of my head, I hear, obey him. I go, oops. Okay. We packed up the car, went about 100 yards down on public property there in the swale. Everybody followed us. We're sitting there feeding the poor, and I get an attitude. Sorry. So we're over there feeding the poor, and some lady pulls up in a car. What are you doing? And I'm now like, Jackson, you go talk to her. I am not going to tell her. Because in this area, a lot of people pull up in their cars and ask us for food and stuff. And it's like, I used to have a real problem with it until Jackson came back. And he goes, Mike, the lady just gave me $135 to feed the poor. And I'm now like, ooh, look at that. But if I hadn't have obeyed when the security guard said, leave, and then God says, obey him. So then I went. And then that's when the lady came. I'd have missed it. If I didn't obey God, and it's like, we don't know by one little step of obedience how God's going to use that as we go along. And then now when people stop, I just had a lady the other day. She stopped. Nice car, too. You feeding? Heck yeah. And her mom had a kidney failure, and she was just in the hospital, sitting there with an oxygen thing on there, and I got to pray for them. It's like, all of a sudden, we got to change our parameters on how we think of things. You know, because a lot of times we make, they're sick. It's their problem. You know, it's like, I didn't do that to them. I didn't make the homeless homeless. I didn't do that. But we get these attitudes and things built up in our heads by how people dress, what they wear. Some guys have their hair braided and they go, why do you do that? Because it's not as messy. Shoop. You know, but it's like, we do, you know. And the people that see it the most are the deputies at jail. I've been going to the same unit for a while, and most of the deputies are okay, but every 6 months they move them so they don't get too friendly with the guys. Makes sense. But I had one guy, he goes, I remember you when you were over at Conte and Saturday mornings and everything goes there. And this opened it up for me to get to pray for the guy. The guy's feet bothered him, and all he had to do was walk all day long. And I'm like, okay, God, he'll give us, and those guys, I guess if I had to work among the prisoners all day long, I'd get an attitude too, you know. But it's like, it's hard. Some people, you know, if you want to minister for God, I can tell you something right now. There's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. And this, when sometimes there's low sections. And then God will say, obey me. You know, people ask me all the time, Mike, why do you feed the poor? Do you read the Bible? Jesus said, feed the poor. Oh, yeah, it's not complicated. It's not the, you know, I was like, okay. You just feed them. Okay, good. And that's what you do. You know, we have some volunteers helping us a lot, and they go, why do you do this? I go, Jesus said to feed the poor. Oh, okay, we can do that. And then we get back from the house. The volunteers go, oh, boy, we really did something today. I go, yeah, we did. We fed the poor. And they get excited, you know? His neighbors couldn't believe what happened when the blind guy could see. His neighbors were like, look, isn't that him? And I go, isn't that him? People that see me now that haven't seen me for a few years, even 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, and they go, remember me? And I go, nope. And they go, you sure look different, Mike. And I'm now like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. He made me different. He really did. I was an expert in the beginning of my Christian life, and I wasn't proud of it now, but it's just good to learn that I could make people cry in a bad way. You know, I'd be, what are you doing? I'd be like the Pharisees of Pharisees. You know, you got to do this, and you got to do this. And I just wasn't a nice Christian in the beginning. God had to break off all the rough edges that I had, and he's still working at it. He's still working at it. I'm not there yet. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, be diligent to present yourself to prove to God a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So Jesus just wants us to have a vague idea of what's going on, how much he loves people, and that he said, this is the way things should be done. We always get it in our heads that like, oh, I think it should be done this way. Through our upbringing and stuff, my little sister's staying with us, and she goes, is it going to be like going to church with Father Vogel, who'll be over in 20 minutes? I go, no. We said, you know, we had a priest, and we knew if we went to his mass, we'd be done in 20 minutes, man. Shoom, and out the door and off to Dunkin' Donuts. We knew it, you know, so we'd try to go to his mass, because it was like, but whenever Jesus performed a miracle, and he did a lot of them, he always provoked people to the hearts of men. Often, these questions give us an opportunity to witness for the Lord on being able to tell people how it happened. You know, we need to know how it happened. And his testimony was simple. He just, the guy, and I'm amazed. I've read through this about 8 times, and then I look and go, they never mentioned the guy's name. It just says, the man, the man, the man. It'd have been so easy to put, you know, Oscar, Harry, whatever. But now it's the man all the way through. And I go, huh. But his testimony was simple. He was just a regular guy that was blind, and then Jesus healed him. But he convinced him. He kept reciting the facts of what happened. I was lost, and then Jesus took me and said, because I died on the he died on the cross for me, he paid for my sins. That's why I get to go to heaven. And that's what I repeat to everybody that I know. I mean, people come up to me, and they go, do you know who you look like? I go, me? And they go, no, you look like Santa. I go, no, that's a mystical creature. He lies. But that gives me an opportunity, and I start telling them, I said, well, you know, can I pray for you? And then it's like, we get in more times than not, they end up accepting Jesus and start moving forward to a degree. I never know how far. It's like I see people, and then I just never see them again. But it's like God just opens up the door. But this guy's testimony, the man, more than anything else, he called Jesus. And when we witness concerning what the Lord Jesus has done, he creates a desire of our heart for others to come to him too. It's just like we want every, when I first got saved, boy, I had my mother and father-in-law. Boy, they could have, it was on Mother's Day, wasn't it? Well, I'm banging on the dining room table, you know, telling them to get saved and everything. And my father-in-law's there, no atheist in foxholes. And I'm there like, you know, that didn't work well. I don't know why, you know, but I mean, I wanted, But everybody has their own testimony to share with others. Everybody has their own. The last boss that I had right before I got saved, he looked at me and goes, Mike, if anybody in this world needed to get saved, it was you. You know, because it was like, whew. You think I'm a handful now, huh? Back it up 40 years. The biggest thing was Jesus performed a miracle on the Sabbath. In verse 14, the Pharisees did not realize that God never intended the Sabbath to prevent an act of mercy or kindness. He made it for a day of worship. He wanted them to gather together. And they were all picking on him for doing that. And then the Pharisee asked him again. He asked the guy again, how did you do it? How did you do it? But this time, Jesus was known well all in Jerusalem by all the things that he was done. So now there's a division arose between the Pharisees because the Pharisees announced boldly that Jesus could not be a godly man because he had broken the Sabbath. Others reasoned that a sinful man could not perform such a wonderful miracle. Jesus often caused divisions among people. Men were forced to take sides and either for him or against him. And it's like, boy, doesn't that sound like today? Everybody, you know, and it's like, I have learned, and it's taken me a while, that like there was this young Hebrew guy, and we'd go back and forth a little bit, and he'd come up to the car, and he was homeless. And then we had a discussion. He didn't like it, and I didn't like it. We could tell. I fed him anyway. He goes, you going to feed me? I said, of course. We're just having a discussion about it. You know? So I fed him. And like 3 minutes later, he came back and gave me $3. And I'm there like, whew. And we'd see him every week. Every week we'd see the guy. And he goes, I haven't changed my mind. I go, neither have I. You know, I'm not going to change. But you sure like the food, don't you? He goes, yeah, you know. But God did a work in his heart. You got to start somewhere. You know, in the beginning, I wouldn't take money from anybody. Now I take money from everybody. You know, it's like, we go to one place. Yeah. We go to one place. I call it Crack City. It's not the best place in town. There's two or three guys there that I met in jail, and I tell them the stories, just like we're telling stories here. And they go, well, why don't you come over by us when you feed? I go, oh, So I started going, and we go to Crack City. We, you know, minister to them every time we go out. And some days they like us and some days they don't. You know, and it's like, phew, just depends on. But it's like, hey, I was invited. So he's one of the head guys that did it. So everybody has to, you see, but keep people straight and stuff. But it's like, we have to go where people invite us. And people, if you have any kind of word, God will invite you to do it. You know, and many of the people were unwilling. Nope, the Pharisees didn't want to hear the testimony of his parents. His parents said, well, he's a guy. If we tell him that we believe Jesus healed them, they're going to kick us out of the synagogue. I don't want to be kicked out of the synagogue, do you? Nope. Nobody wanted to at that time. When you got kicked out of the synagogue, what happened? You lost your job. You lost your standing in the community. Nobody had worked with you. You couldn't buy or sell. Because it was all intertwined. Now, it's completely, do we accept Jesus? And it's like, you hope you tell the guy at the water cooler or whatever. Share it a little bit. But it's not where you lose or gain anything in the natural. But we gain everything in the spirit realm. Because God's working on a completely different realm now. Then, he was really dealing with the flesh a lot more than now. Now, it's a spiritual thing. And I really like that. In 925, the Pharisees met every failure that Jesus had. They fed him, and they met failure every time they tried to talk to him. And they tried to discredit the Lord to Jesus. It resulted in bringing more honor to him every single time. There was no testimony that they couldn't deny. And again, they reopened the questioning of the guy. And the guy said to him, do you want to become his disciple too? He was going like, hey, what do you want to do? Here's the Here's an amazing fact about this. The healed man had been born without sight, but the Pharisees were blinded by their own pride, jealousy, and sin. Phew! And I go, how many times have I been guilty of that? You know, because it's like we have positions and stuff, and we, most people are in here. I try not to flaunt anything. You know, it's like, I'm just me. That's it. That's all you're going to get. That's all you're ever going to get. It's a terrible thing to think we know better than God, because it shows pride is deeply rooted in our hearts. Because we go, oh God, you know, I don't think you, I wish I had a dollar every time I said, I don't think you should have done it that way, God. I'd have done it, you know. And God's like, hey, Mike, I got a bigger picture than you, and I know what's right for this. And it's like, yeah, but I go, but Jesus, they're hurting and suffering. He goes, yeah, I know that too. It breaks Jesus' heart as much as it does ours. Mm-hmm. In Genesis 22:18, he said, this is what he said to Abraham. And he said, in your seed, all the nations on the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And I look at that and I go, okay, God, I know John 10:27. It's one of my favorites. It goes, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. And now the guy who was blind and now could see, he was a bolder witness now than he was before. Before, I mean, he had to survive off of people coming by and giving him food and a few shekels and stuff. But now his faith was growing. He reminded them, God does not hear sinners or work miracles through them. And he said, like, I know Jesus. He goes, at the end, he goes, if the Lord Jesus was not from God, he could never do a miracle of this nature. And the Pharisees were there like, ooh. I mean, we need to hear the truth more than anything else, because the truth is what sets us free. Jesus sought out the man, even after all the abuse and everything he had. And even to this point, he says, you know, those who are out to cast Jesus out lose nothing but a great blessing in his personal welcome and fellowship. See how Jesus led the man to personal faith in himself as the Son of God. He simply asked the question, do you believe in the Son of God? I work on one theory out on the street and in jail and other places. Keep it simple, saints. Don't make it so complicated that they can't get into the kingdom. It's like all you got to do is say yes. At this point, when he learned that, he goes, the one whom he had seen is now talking with him. At this, the man simply placed his faith in the Lord Jesus, fell down, and worshiped him. The preaching of the gospel has two effects. Those who admit that do not see are given sight, but those who insist they can see perfectly without the Lord Jesus are confirmed in their blindness. The Lord's answer may not be paraphrased as follows. If you admit that you are blind and sinful, you need a Savior, then your sins can be forgiven you. You can be saved. But if you profess you are in need of nothing, you claim that you are righteous and you have no sin, therefore no forgiveness of sin for you. Jesus said, you would have no sin. He didn't mean they were absolutely sinless. He just said, where are you standing? What's your standing in the kingdom? Recognize him as Messiah, and their sin would have been as nothing compared to the enormous sin of the professing Pharisees, because they failed to recognize he was the Son of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we have code words here. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God, beneficial for teaching, rebuke, correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable and equipped for every good work. Wow. I want to be in that category. I really do. I want to be in that. I've been reading it for a few weeks, years, decades. And they're still new every day. Every time I read it, I get something new out of it. Every single morning, you know. And one thing I've learned, in Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to penetrating as far as a division of soul and spirit, both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of their heart. And I go, ooh. then in verse 13, it hits us. And he says, there is no creature, no creature hidden from God's sight. All things are open and laid bare to him of the eyes and whom we must give account. So we're going to have difficult times. Timothy warned us of that there. He said, but realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. People will be lovers of their own selves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderous, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irascible, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I go, boy, I fit in too many of those categories. I do. It's like, God, people will be lovers of their own selves, money, boastful, arrogant, slanderous, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. And I go, boy, do we need a counterculture here? We do. You know, I can remember reading this in the 80s and going, oh, and I read it more and I'm convicted more now. It's like, oh God, change my heart. Change my heart, Lord. In Revelation 19, it says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him because the marriage of the Lamb has come. His bride has prepared herself and it was given to her to clothe herself in bright linen, bright and clean, fine linen for the righteous acts of the saints. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. So we have a choice. Do we want to be in part of that? Do we want to be part of that? It's like, God, I'm going to open my mind even more. As I was doing this all week, I'm going, okay, God, you keep showing me more and more stuff that I need to change. I know more than anything. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But God says, I'll take care of you. In Ephesians 1:18, he goes, I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very core and center of your being, may be enlightened, flooded by the light of the Holy Spirit. So if you know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you into the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So God's got the plan for us. He's got everything set up for us now. Who wants more of that? Who wants more of that? You know, it's like, okay, God, he set us up for success. Whether it's the insignificant or the major, but we're going to be successful. So, Lord, right now, let's everybody stand up. We'll all pray together. Lord Jesus, we yield to you. We put the yield sign up in our hearts. We know not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, Lord. Things do not happen because we wish them. Things happen because of who you are. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Lord. You've got your hands on each person here, Lord. You said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. We're asking you to speak to every person, each and every one of them, individually, Lord. Small and great, Lord, speak to them. Change hearts. Change hearts more than you've ever changed hearts before, Lord. And if there isn't anybody that doesn't know him completely, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. God's got a gift for you this morning. God's got a gift right now, Lord. Anybody that wants that gift can have it. You just got to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we say yes, Lord, to that gift. We thank you for that.
Anyone that needs prayer for anything, feel free to come up to the front. We have people that will pray for you. God is really speaking to us. He is a healer. He sets the captives free and he gives sight to the blind. Whether it's physical blindness or spiritual blindness, God is very good and he has brought you here for a reason. If you need prayer, feel free to come up. And I just want to give, let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Thank you so much, Mike, for bringing the word today. Bless you guys. I just want to bless you before you go today, before you have a wonderful week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I declare peace over every one of you, over a peaceful week, a blessing and increase over your lives. If you are would like to meet us, if this is your first time here, please see us in the lobby. Have a blessed week. Keep Pastor Carl in prayer. He is getting better, but he sends his love to you all. God bless you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.